Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Le Black Tower Podcast, a Wheel of Time podcast. I am one of your hosts, Andrew, the fellow with the nice beard and the nice bottle over there. What's your name? I don't think we've ever met.
It's very nice to meet you. My name is Josh. I was recently promoted to Thor of Unmahale. It was probably a bad choice.
But I do. All right, the solo podcast this week. No, I'm just kidding. That would be terrible. Like, imagine if one of us got on and we're like all good to go, and as soon as the episode starts, like, you put us like pre-gamed way too hard, and it just hits you like all of a sudden.
And it gets you.
But
it gets you.
But yeah, so for this week's episode, we can tell you what it's about before we put out the spoiler warning, because telling you what it's about doesn't spoil anything. So Josh, what is the episode about?
What is the episode about? So glad you asked. It is about triumph. It is about the most triumphant. All right? Go through the Wheel of Time, read all the books, and then pick the parts that were most triumphant. Now, I'm not referring to the most victorious, okay? There are moments that, well, we'll get into that after the spoiler warning. Give us a spoiler warning, because I want to do some stuff.
All right. Let's put on that protection, and let's all lean back and close our eyes and just enjoy
just let it this in.
Absolute legend of a spoiler warning.
This is your Black Tower podcast, Wheel of Time spoiler warning. There are neither beginnings nor endings to spoilers, but this is a beginning. If you continue to listen, you may be cursed with the knowledge yet to come. These curses may include knowledge that you are, in fact, just a farm boy. Drinking one glass of wine now leads to mustache pulling and a hell of a hangover. Resigning that you will never be as good with the ladies as your friends are. Realizing Androl is bae, regardless of your gender or sexual orientation. The inability to stop tugging your braid in anger, even if you don't have hair. An understanding that the word taint is simultaneously a noun, adjective, and verb. Discovering you have more titles than actual name. The BDE, also known as Big Dragon Energy, becomes undeniable. Finding yourself promising to read A New Spring and never getting to it. An uncontrollable urge to argue over inconsistent pronunciations. Knowing that hating Gon is a responsibility, not a privilege. Again, there are no beginnings or endings to spoilers, but this is a beginning. You have been warned.
Ladies and gentlemen, the registered nerd, one of our lovely patrons. And if you have a nice, snappy, snazzy idea to do a spoiler warning for us, you can head on over to patreon.com, search up your boys at the Black Tower Podcast. And when you become a tier one supporter, also known as the soldier tier, you get the option to record a spoiler warning for us. And we love each and every one of them, because they're super dope.
They are super dope. And each one has its own unique signature, its own unique flair. And I think that's what I love most about it.
Oh, yeah. They're always just super unique. And they're just great. That's all I can say.
They are.
I forget English whenever they are I try to great. Say anymore.
Both of them are fucking amazing.
Oh, yeah. But for our Patreon and other fun stuff for Black Tower Podcast, including the merch and all of our social medias, make sure you take a trip on over to blacktowerpod.com and just enjoy. We're going to be streamlining our plug things for the most part here coming up. So, yeah. Are you good there, boss man?
No, I'm not good. I've got invaders in my office.
Invader Zim?
Invader, not Invader Zim, Invaders.
Now you have to perform in front of family. Ah,
exactly. And this, I'm getting performance anxiety.
Oh, no. The struggles.
The struggles are indeed. So what I wanted to talk about was the subject of tonight's episode, which was triumph in the Wheel of Time. And the most triumphant scenes from the Wheel of Time. And I would like to say, don't. Discord is going off. And no, that's not happening. Triumph in the Wheel of Time. Now I'm not talking about times where good guy win. Sometimes the bad guys can be triumphant. I'm not talking about when Rand pulls out his sword and he's like, I'm going to fight the Shan-Chan guy. And the Shan-Chan guy is like, ah, let us see what a blade master on this side of is. And Rand wins. That was stupid luck. Okay. He was wearing like extra layers of Taveren armor that day.
Early Rand is like Rey, not Skywalker.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah.
I'm going to go with it. Because he beats people that he never should have been able to beat.
I mean,
in my opinion,
I've got
without Taveren armor.
Yeah, yeah. I've got my own opinions when it comes to Rey, but I see your metaphor, and it is a widely accepted medium or standard.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with it. I'm gonna pander on that one.
Do it. Trigger me. See where it gets you. Fuck around. See what happens. Triumph is
come moments... all the way to North Carolina, cash that check, big boy. Come on, we'll make a day of it,
maybe,
or a night of it, whatever we have to do.
Depends on how much time we have.
Never as much as we think. Anyway,
continue. Yeah. So triumph is moments where, like, it's not about good or bad. It's not about, you know what. It's a moment of careful planning, careful maneuvering, and setting the trap, springing the trap, and the plan coming together perfectly. And yep. There are a few instances of this in the Wheel of Time. I know we like to give a lot of crap to the story because of Taveren armor. And because of, you know, convenient, you know, plot progression and, you know, oh, look, I just know how to do this all of a sudden. Like, I'm not talking, I want real gritty moments of triumph. And one of them that I think of regularly is Perrin. Perrin is an edgelord. Like, the dude just never, ever goes all in. He never goes full wolf. But like at Dumais Wells, he looks down into the valley and he sees all the Shido amassing and he's like, shit, we got to do it, guys. This is what we got to do to save Rand. This is what we got to do. We're doing it. Everybody, let's do this. Knowing full well that he's not walking away from this. And
he channels his inner Spartan and fully commits to with your shield on it.
Oh, he does. And he just like, he goes down there and he starts giving it to the Shido, baby. He's giving it to him. And he would have died had the Black Tower not showed up and saved everybody's asses. Just saying.
It's what we do.
It is what we do. We're just that awesome.
Sometimes.
But the idea being, he knew he was going into a hopeless situation and went anyway and came out the victor. And I think that is incredibly triumphant. And it just makes me happy. It's one of my favorite triumphs in the Wheel of Time.
Yeah, that's a good one. I mean, you can follow some of the stuff like along the same track of like the triumph being like triumphing over yourself, like your own like hangups and stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a very important aspect of existing, yeah. is being able to triumph over yourself.
Yeah. I mean, along that train of thought, the most famous one probably for that fits that criteria, as I very word vomity laid out, would be like, you know, Rand's scene on Dragomel, where he comes up, as we've learned, Bodhisattva Rand, commonly called Zen Rand. But I mean, that's definitely a huge self-triumph for whatever reason that it happens. You know, it's a triumph over many things. It's a triumph over, to some degree, the madness, to some degree, mental illness, though I would probably honestly argue more that he compartmentalized rather than actually triumphing over it or dealing with it and addressing it. It's an innate, like, immediate triumph over...
Nope.
I guess that's what he went there to do. He was like, I'm just going to
keep
and everything else with me. So,
yeah.
Nope.
He.
Oh, wait, also, we can't say that word on YouTube. I'm going to have to bleep that out.
he
if you're watching on YouTube and there's bleeps, go and listen to the audio only to find out what we actually said.
Yeah.
Hopefully I remember to actually do that.
He actually also, like, yeah, come on, YouTube. We're talking about a book, okay? Chill.
Should have said, all the GunTubers I watch, I always say, like, commit self-die.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, the topic isn't funny, but the wording of it kind of is.
The wording, the verb.
I have a morbid sense of humor, so.
So, but he also, like, in that moment when he's up there, he's triumphing, as you said, he's triumphing over so much. A big part of that is himself, but he's also triumphing over thousands of years of prophecy that says, this is what you're going to do, and has him convinced that he's just dead.
Yeah.
He's like, it doesn't matter if I'm here or there, I'm dead. And since there's no clear victory, in that moment.
We forgot to do something.
What?
Forgot to do something.
Uh-oh.
And I'm a trash friend because I just realized it. You may be noticing, if you haven't already, and she's like, why haven't they told us why? There's a voice you're not hearing and a face you're not seeing. Normally we catch this right off the bat at the start, and I had it in my mind, but then I got distracted by Josh's A-tier, not-so-sober acting. Daniel, he's still obviously with the – why do we say that every time? Like, if anybody doesn't show up, they're not like – they just quit
every single time. You know, one of these days we are actually going to kick someone off the podcast and not say anything, and they're going to be like, oh, you know what, they're there,
probably
they're
on just, a trip.
It'll be like 6 weeks later, they're like, hey, we haven't seen Josh in like 6 weeks, what the hell.
I think it's funny, we start talking about it and Daniel like hopped out of the live recording on Discord. I don't know if he hopped out or just lost signal. Who knows?
Daniel's cool, he's just returning back from holiday shenaniganry with his family.
Yeah, actually, as we're recording this, he, I believe, is in a vehicle of some sort. Or no, he was waiting to deboard the plane.
Yes,
was the last he said. So
yeah,
if he gets home in time, he's gonna hop on as long as he can to try to catch like the tail end and, you know, at least make an appearance. But you know, California traffic and whatnot. So if he can, fantastic. He knows he's welcome to hop in whenever, as always. If he can't, that's where he is. Coming back home from a trip with delays and stuff. So anyway, yeah. I mean, I don't want to dwell too long on Rand because we've talked about everything with Rand like 1,000 times over. Not that we'll never do that. but yeah, deliberately
I will say,
not commenting on that.
I got to say that Avienda making it through the glass pillars all 3 times. That's 3 separate triumphs. That was, I mean, that last one's probably the biggest triumph because, damn. I mean, you go in there, you go.
I love how at the same time you said the phrase, you go in there, I looked in our live chat and just saw, can you split 3 ways? And I'm like, Jesus Christ. There was a time where I thought like we made a lot of sex jokes, and then we went on with Twatcast and everything, and I was like, no, we're like church level.
We are fledglings who sit in their shadow.
Teach us your ways. I mean, I guess we should have known like whenever they like call themselves Twatcast.
So. Oh yeah. No,
it sounds like a really bad fishing rod. Anyway,
the first two trips through, she does some pretty impressive things. The third one's probably the most impressive one, though, because, you know, who isn't afraid to face the unknown? Like, oh my God, especially when it's the unknown, but you have a hint of the complete and utter failure. And I think one of the things that strikes me most about her third trip through the glass columns is when she comes out and says, I don't see what happened. I don't know what happened. We did everything right. We followed Gia To, and we still lost. We still die. We still end up.
Sorry, microphone.
Good.
Just like pimp smack my microphone.
Nice.
I'm a professional.
But it just, oh, just that's true. And then for her to come back and instead of, you know, she meets with the wise ones and she says, we got a problem and it needs to be fucking handled. And I think that's such a powerful moment because her resolve is not to lay down and cry and, you know, oh, woe is me, life is hard, I don't know what I'm going to do, so I might as well just do nothing. She goes to the wise ones, and she says, okay, I know technically this is bad and you shouldn't do it, but I did it, and now I have questions. And she tells them, and it's amazing how many problems are solved with clear communication. The fact that she communicated clearly is another evidence bit of triumph.
I mean, half the time, the fact that she communicated at all is a triumph, honestly. I mean, right? how long were Rand and Egwene thinking like, yeah, you're not the one for me anymore. And how long did it take them to actually have the conversation? Oh, yeah. It took Elaine going to Egwene saying, I like Rand. I had to confess to you. And she's like, oh, no, it's fine. I actually don't want to be with him.
She's like,
if we stayed in Amon's field, then maybe it would happen. But now, you know, it's, you know, you can have my leftovers. And then she goes to talk and finds out that he's not actually her leftovers. They just mutually divided the Red Sea plate down the middle and went their separate
Egwene's
ways.
Like, Egwene's like trying on her green shawl. She's like, what, Rand? Rand? Rand who? Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you can. I mean, I give you my blessing.
Oh, yeah. But I mean, it's kind of funny because it's after that she. Did they go through? No, because you don't go through the rings test of like the possibilities in the White Tower until you go to accept it, right? Or Aes Sedai. Those are the two you go through, right?
Yeah.
Or at least accept it. It's kind of like funny because it's after the Dragon Reborn, I think. Is it after the Dragon Reborn that Egwene goes for her accepted test?
Yes.
I think it is. Morshadi, is it? Morshadi confirmed, yeah. So this is after she's already like given up her stake on Rand, and then she sees, I mean, which all those tests can be considered moments of triumph for all the people that go through it as well. Because
sending his view now.
Oh no, sorry, no, it's not. All right, well, never mind. But those are still moments of triumph. That's in the beginning of So it's in the same book, but it's before she like tells Elaine that she can have Rand.
Yeah.
I wonder how much of that might be potentially impacted by, you know, having to watch Rand in an alternate possibility slowly go insane.
Ooh.
And her being like, yeah, I'm just gonna nope out of this in the hardest way possible.
That is a good point. I never even thought about that.
Yeah. I mean, like, I don't really think that's
maybe
much.
Not even,
it could be in the back of the mind, but I don't think that's much of it. I think they obviously just grew apart.
Maybe not even like a character, like in a flaw way where she's like, oh my God, I don't even want to, but maybe more like a, look, I have goals now. I want to be Aes Sedai. I can channel.
I think more of it was the fact that Egwene is just so powerful and skilled. Man. Yeah. That she's just so powerful and skilled and does so much that RJ was like, okay, look, this is going to be like super Mary Sue-ish OP bullshit if they're together. So going to split them up. Rand's going to have all of his fucked up mental issues, and Egwene's going to get Gawain, and that evens out for how fucked up they're all.
Dude, no, but really, Rand and Egwene, most OP couple ever. Oh, yeah. Like, oh, God. That, can you imagine? Can you imagine?
I don't want to. Because all I can imagine is
lost in like book seven.
Yeah, all I can imagine is how they are by A Memory of Light, and I'm trying to think of those two people together, and it makes me want to choke my inner voice for even thinking of it. Like, I couldn't handle it, honestly.
This just in: we have our correspondent on the road, Daniel. Hi, we hear you're on location in Falma. Damn it, that was going to be hilarious.
Well, he's I don't know if he can do Discord and Zoom at the same time. Well, because I can see him talking in Discord.
I can't hear him anywhere.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, they can hear him in Discord. If he's on his phone, it may not be able to do Zoom and Discord.
Lame.
But he can't hear us saying that either because... Probably turned off the output in Discord. So either the patrons get to hear what he's saying and we don't, or we get to hear what he's saying and they don't.
What is he saying about it?
He's just like dishing all the tea. He's like, I'm going to edit that out. I was not supposed to make that joke. About this.
You made the joke.
I wasn't supposed to make that joke here. I did so good up until now.
You did.
Like the thing we recorded before the episode. That all of y'all get to see on YouTube only.
You were good.
I did really good in that, or I did decent. I'm not going to say I did really well. This is doing good so far.
Speaking of our YouTube, if you're not subscribing to our YouTube yet, you should be, because it's pretty awesome.
So we have this in from our texting correspondent, sending it up on the Blue Forest Tracker Tick chat. Well, that's not what it's called. I forgot what it's called. Anyway. So we just got this news bulletin in from Morshadi. I need a piece of paper. I don't have a piece of paper. I'm going to read it off this beanie. This just in from Morshadi. Daniel said, motherfucker. Or mother. Oh.
What?
Can see him.
Oh, I can see part of him.
Daniel graced us with a picture. Oh.
Ah!
Is that a panda on your face? Or are you just happy to see me?
World Wilderness something or other. The WWE.
I'm not cultured enough to know this stuff. We can see you, but we can't hear you because your audio is taken over by Discord. It's just like a leftover piece of like their delivery bag, and he forgot his mask, so he just put the bag loops over.
I've fashioned this leftover bag into a delicious smelling face mask. Have you ever been to the LA airport? I would love to smell Panda Express.
I've been there once. Oh, now we can hear you.
Wait.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, hey, I think Discord monopolizes your audio.
Now the Patreons can't, because it can only do one at a time. Damn it.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'm hopping in to say hi, and I love you guys, and thank you for covering for me. Patreon can hear this later. And I will talk to you guys soon. I actually should be home in not that long, so if you guys are still on, I'll be on.
I'll still be here because I got stuff to fill you in on after we record. Josh is out in just over 30 minutes.
Yep, yes, I will try to make it home before 30 minutes. We'll see. All right, guys. Love you.
Woo-hoo! Love you too.
Bye.
Have a safe drive, man. All right. What are we talking about?
I'm going to miss him.
I do.
If you've been in enough of the Discord chat, you know where that comes from.
Oh shit, I forgot. Oh, it's your turn for a triumphant moment, sir. Give me some triumph.
Daniel figuring out the Discord took over his audio. That's a moment of self-triumph right there. Oh, so what's a good triumphant moment? Tam.
Oh god,
whenever he's been healed by Moraine and they're in the wine spring and he's talking to Rand. And he looks at Rand and says, you have to do what you have to do. You have to go with them. You've got to figure out what's going on. Like, basically, it's just like, it's got to be so hard for a dad, especially after your son just lugged your dying body through the woods. Used your sword, which you didn't even get to see, unfortunately. He would have been so proud. I'm sure he still is.
Absolutely.
Letting his son go off, because it's not like he's going off to college. Like, there are people there trying to kill my son. I'm going to let him go off with this group of these two strangers or three strangers. Well, he only knew Moraine and Lon. So, and probably Perrin and Matt. So it's like, at least he's got Perrin and Matt, but I'll let him go off with these two strangers. You know, the lady that can use magic and the guy whose cloak is like a bad green screen.
Especially given how well-traveled and knowledgeable Tam is.
Mm.
Like, he knows what Aes Sedai are and what they're capable of.
Doesn't he say something like, well, she healed me, so she can't be that bad?
I mean, I think he says that to Rand more to, like, try and comfort Rand, though.
I mean, yeah. It might be partially trying to convince himself still as well.
Yeah, I mean, he's probably like, well, I'm going to hope that she's not that bad because she just healed me, and, yeah, she's totally not that bad, right? Right?
Why are we here?
Right?
Just to suffer.
No, that's a good one.
Yeah.
That's a good one. I'm a little sad.
Some of these triumphant moments that we're talking about parallel fairly well with like the most like potentially cringy cliche sweet moments sometimes.
Yeah.
At least, well, you know, it seems to be the ones I kind of choose.
Honestly. There's a reason they're cliche moments though, right? Because they're emotionally evocative. And when you go, oh my God, that was amazing. It's because it was amazing. It's cliche for a reason, my friend.
Let's see.
My next example of triumph, I would say...
Still listening, but I need to refill.
Yeah, you need to refill.
It's been a long fucking day.
I can talk Bella the creator carrying all those people throughout the series. No, that's not going to be my moment. My next moment of triumph, I'm going to give it to the baddies. I'm going to give it to the baddies here. And this was mentioned in our Discord chat, which if you're not in our Discord, why not? You should be. It's amazing. You get to hang out with our unofficial fact checker every week. It's awesome. He's kind of the best. And the snakes and foxes are always hanging around, slurping up some savor here and there. A little creepy, but we like them, so we let them stay. I'm going to give it to the bad guys for my next triumph. My next triumph is Elida. She is such a terrifying character because she's a beautiful example of what can happen when a powerful character is so horribly misguided and is what's the word I'm looking for? I'm looking for a word. It's just so tragic.
Might I suggest you use a dictionary instead of standing in the woods?
No.
Or a meadow-ish thing?
No, I'm in Andor. This is Andor.
Oh, my bad.
So, you know, if you want to
make this is my room, Andor, because I forgot to put the background back up again.
Anyway, for those of you watching on YouTube, this is great. I actually have painted my wall in my office, so I now have a green screen in my office, and it's awesome. It's
pretty, now you also have cool. A permanent gray man anytime you move your hand.
It's true. I do. So if I do that, like my little shadow is like, hey, what's up? I'm a gray man. I'm going to kill you. No, Elida is such a powerful character. She's actually very smart. The problem comes is when she is under the spell of, and I don't mean actual spell, but when she's under the influence of the Black Aja, she's kind of under their thumb. And her ambition sort of eclipses her prowess and her capability, which makes her vulnerable to attack. But putting the plan into motion and taking Swan Sanche down, that's no small feat. And especially doing it in such a way that it is recognized widely in the tower as a legal maneuver, as she followed the law. What do you want me to do about it? Brilliant. That's a triumphant moment right there, because it's such a long shot, but Elida's able to maneuver it, push it through, and make it happen. And it's just that good.
Yeah, I like it. I think it fits. Oh man, I'm trying to think of a good one, because I don't want to be like cheesy or cliche and be like, "Oh, Nynaeve overcoming her block and that kind of stuff."
I wouldn't call that triumph.
Oh yeah,
I would not.
Why is that?
It wasn't something she actively did. It was reactionary to preserve her life. I guess in some sense you could say it's triumphant, because if she hadn't found it within herself to submit and let Sidar in, they would have drowned. And that's very possible, and lesser people might have just drowned. But I don't know. I guess you could call that triumph.
Yeah. I think it's enough gray area where you could say one way or the other, but her personal decisions wouldn't have happened without outside actors that forced the need for it, I guess.
Exactly.
So
I guess yeah. You could say it's triumph in the moment. Reactionary. Yeah. Like, yeah, I rescind. I rescind. That's triumph.
No, I'll give the baddies one. Ishmael doing so good that even after he died, not only did the Dark One bring him back in a new body, but also made him nameless.
Ooh. Damn.
Because think about the ones that we don't see die for most of the book. Damodred. I just like blanked on names. I thought I had like two or three.
Samael is there. Ravin is there.
You see Samael die. Kind of.
We see Ravin die.
Oh, yeah, we see Ravin die.
We had to get confirmation on Samael.
We see we don't see Lanfear die, but we see what happens that causes her to die.
Right.
We don't see directly Asmodean die.
You!
Do we see... No, Mogideon doesn't die, but I wouldn't call anything about her story really triumphant.
No. She does not.
Because even like her, I'm going to get revenge moment, it still fails. So it's more like a tragic comedy. Yeah. I mean, who was reborn as Arengar? I can't remember. Was it Balthamel or
Aghanor?
Which one was reborn as Arengar? Was it Aghanor?
Yeah, Balthamel was Ostengar.
Oh, yeah. I mean, That could be a little bit of a triumph as Arengar being able... Yeah, see, I didn't think it was Aghanor going into Ostengar, because I didn't think they both started with A, and that's how I typically try to remember it.
Okay.
So, Balthamel as reborn as Ostengar, which is a male Forsaken reborn into a female body, still channeling Sidine,
right.
Does an amazing job of getting in and then escaping the rebel.
Adapting very, very well to the new, yeah.
So I guess maybe a personal triumph for seeing the benefits to being reborn as a female that can channel Sidine rather than wallowing in it, because he didn't want that. And no. I think it's even said that the Dark One did that as a bit of punishment for him.
Right.
Which in modern times is like at least 50% of males dream. So maybe not permanently, maybe something you could turn on and off again, but I don't know. It's like that Freaky Friday song by Little Dicky.
There you go.
At the end, where he's in what's-her-name's body. I don't know. I'm going to finally understand the inner workings of a woman. So, I mean, I think that's maybe not a big triumph. So it wouldn't be capital T triumph, but...
It's like a lowercase T.
Yeah, lowercase T triumph, since that's how we... qualify any of these words that start with T.
Yes, we always, yeah, we have to capitalize or not.
Yeah.
I'd say I had one. I can't think of it now. Shit.
It's been going for me. Like, I'll think of one And I'll be like, all right, I got the next one. I got the next one for me.
And then I don't shut up, and then you'd forget.
No, it's not that you don't shut up. I just get so focused on, like, listening, and then I'm like, Andrew, what about you? And I'm like, ah.
That's how much we love the Wheel of Time. We're so, like, intent on talking. Yeah? You're talking about the Wheel of Time, and then it's like, hey, now your turn. Shit. This is also showing, like, how much prep work we do in these episodes as well.
To be fair... This wasn't the original episode we were supposed to do today. True. So, if it's a little closer to trash can, fuck off. Give us a break.
This is going to be like our highest listened to episode.
Oh god. Just set this as the trailer for the podcast.
Just
or at least the last bit if Daniel gets to hop in for the last bit. Come and watch our dumpster fire. Oh gosh.
Triumph, moments of triumph.
Another Avienda one, but right after yours. Remind me, Avienda.
I was gonna go with Brodel.
Oh yeah.
Brodel is stationed in the Borderlands by the Lord Dragon and told the last battle is coming. You need to kill every last Trolloc you see. And Brodel is like, I can't do that. I really don't have a big enough army. And Rand is like, don't worry. I'll bring you some Ashaman. And he's like, some what now? You want crazy people? And so he decides, okay, cool. We're going to do this. And I can't remember the name of the city off the top of my head. But it's they've retreated, they're in Saldea, they've retreated back, and they finally are holed up in a city where the prefect of the city is like, oh, Brodel, I'm going to put you on trial and execute you for bringing a foreign army onto our lands. The guy was being a total doucher. He really was. Because he was a dark friend. I'm pretty sure he was a dark friend.
You fucking doucher.
He's a real douche. And then they tell him, you know, oh yeah, you're gonna be arrested, you're gonna be executed for bringing a military here. And then the Trollocs show up and start just decimating everything. And the really bad part, the quote that I remember is when Rodel is having some inner monologue talking about right before a battle. And he says, that's the thing about this job or being a great captain is you develop instincts. And that's the most terrifying thing about his situation because his instincts told him to flee and retreat weeks ago, abandon the city weeks ago or something like that. And it's just, oh my God. He single-handedly held back the Blight and the Trolloc Horde with a fraction of the size and did it really, really well. Did it well enough to hold out until Rand could bring Ashaman from the Black Tower to the city walls to bolster its defenses and hold it back. And it ends up becoming a stronghold for one of the points of attack/defense. One of the conflict areas, one of the skirmish areas in the last battle. That's how well Rodel did defending. And I think if anyone deserves to be triumphant, it's, oh my God, he might be the most triumphant.
No, now we have to do an episode on epic fails.
Oh, yes. Next week on the Black Tower, you've seen him talk about epic success. Now see them talk about epic fails.
Well, not next week, but we can do the week after. Well, maybe the
probably
week after.
Not next week. Yeah.
I'll put it down for the week after next.
I love it. This is organization, folks. Peak efficiency.
Peak efficiency. let's see. The one I was going to go with, it's going to be a lowercase T triumph, but whenever Avienda finally.
I remember the last one I was going to do. So I'm going to remember it this time.
Write a note or something down. I'm going to be quiet until you do.
No, keep talking.
Oh, okay. Don't blame me. Whenever Avienda finally stands up to the wise ones, it's like, I have paid enough. I'm done. Either you can beat me if you want. You can kick me out if you want. You can do whatever you want, but I'm done doing this. And they get up and they're like getting her face, like they're about to be like, you know, she's like, oh, I'm about to get my ass kicked by a bunch of wise ones. And then they're like, thank God, finally.
Took you long enough, shit.
Yeah, so I thought that was pretty good. I mean, it's a really good, still in the line of like character development kind of. I really like a lot of the personal character development triumphs.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, a lot of them, you can argue that they are one way that, because we said like, oh, not just victories and stuff, like.
Yeah. Well, and the thing with Avienda in that moment is she's like kind of confused, like, shit, wise ones, you're not going to punish me for this? And they were like, absolutely not. You're going to be a wise one. You're going to have your own clan. You're going to have your own hold. You need to know when to tell someone to fuck off.
We've been waiting for you to tell us to fuck off for like 3 months.
Right?
Like, we've been waiting forever. Like, we were starting to be like, are we just going to have to tell her and then she'll have to pay for her toe? For being embarrassed for not realizing it?
Well, not only that, but like, they were like running out of time. They're like, no, we really need
Avienda. Oh, it was a time crunch. Because normally they would just let it go on and on because they're like,
yes,
this is a wise one test. If you can't pass it, then you can't be a wise one.
But they kept ramping it up. So hers was particularly egregious because they did not have time for her to figure it out. And they knew how Avienda loves Giotto. She loves Giotto. Like people in Alabama love mayonnaise sandwiches.
That's a new one. That is a new one.
So,
all right. Oh, Morshada, you're awesome. Morshada just posted a list of all the Forsaken deaths.
Yeah.
And Snakes and Foxes gave us the best description for this episode. It's like a behind the scenes episode.
Accurate. I okay. So my moment of triumph.
Yeah.
This is probably one of my favorite moments in the book.
Okay.
Setting. Black Tower. Place, main hall. Time, Loghain is being tortured by Mihail.
Oh.
Andral has been captured, and they bring him in. He's like, I've got to open up the gateway. But as we know, the Dream Spike is there. And it's just like, it's one of those moments where it's like, Andral's like desperately clawing at. What is wrong? Why can't I open a gateway? It's something I've done naturally since I learned I could channel.
And like masturbating with whiskey dick. I'm sorry, Andrew. I can't believe I just made that comparison.
It's an apt metaphor, though. But he's able to, right in the nick of time, open up the smallest, the smallest of gateways, diverting Mihail's, well, I don't know if it was balefire or whatever, diverting the weave that Mihail was throwing to execute Loghain and giving them just enough chaos to escape. I can't even wrap my head around that. A Dream Spike is a freaking Terran Greal that prevents traveling. It literally is a fuck you. You can't travel here. Period.
Yeah, and it's kind of like those super weird properties. Like whenever it's active, it teleports. It only exists in Teleron Riad, right?
Yeah.
And whenever it's inactive, so it's in the waking world?
It physically exists in Teleron Riad. And you can, and you know, we get some lessons from Lanfear later on in the series. She teaches Perrin how they work, a little bit about how they work.
Yeah.
But they're super complicated, super weird. And Mihail's got one in over the Black Tower. to prevent people from coming in and going, unless they have permission, unless they have the key. But Andral's able to, by sheer force of will, bypass a Tyrann Greal made in the Age of Legends, extremely rare, extremely powerful, extremely complicated, and he's just like, yeah, I can do that.
You know, we need the meme from where you have like Gandalf when he goes on. Who's the king that was like had the guy whispering in his ear from Lord of the Rings?
Denethor.
Yeah. So like whenever Gandalf shows up and he's got the gray on and it's like Andral trying to weave a gateway, that it's just like the king has a dream spike. You have no power here. That it's just like throws off the gray and is like, but I am Andral.
Yes. Or you can say he's the Witch King, who's like, fool, no Ashaman can make a gateway here. And Andral's like, I am no Ashaman. Because at the time he wasn't. He was only
a that's fair. Soldier. That's fair. Oh, geez.
But he was sad that he wasn't full Ashaman.
Yeah. I don't think it was entirely his fault, though. Time was more about accruing his cult following by force, if necessary, rather than promoting people that deserved it.
It definitely was not Andral's fault that he was not Ashaman. He was Ashaman. You know, being Ashaman is more than just about how much you can channel. It's about who you are as a guardian of peace and justice, kind of a thing. Very akin to Jedi in that sense. It doesn't matter how much of the force you can wield. It matters, are you willing to stand up for and defend and be a good person? And God, if there's ever anyone who personified that more than Andral, I haven't seen him.
Both the Bard and the Ashaman. Well, yes. Both. I mean, he's still an Ashaman.
He is an Ashaman. He was promoted.
The one in the waking world and the one in the paper world.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's a good way to put it.
There you go. We'll go with that.
But yeah, Andral, you win a most triumphant award from
us at the Black Tower. Now tell us how you did it.
Yeah, seriously, dude. You've been holding out on us.
10% luck, 20% skill, 70% concentrated power of will.
That's it. That's what it is right there.
Oh, gosh. Man.
Your turn.
I don't have a ton of brain power today. Because like, work was super crazy. Huh?
Should we do a shot? We can do a shot on the show. I've got a bottle of Fireball.
Oh, I got a bottle of something. Let me go and get it. All right.
We'll do it. All right. We're going to do shots. We're going to do shots on the show. Because that is... And this shot is going to be for Triumph. Not the comic insult dog. But for the triumph of man over adversity. And I'm going to weave a fireball.
Oh, well, in similar fashion, even though I don't care for cinnamon liqueurs, this one is also cinnamon based. It is the Cinerator.
Ooh! I love how that looks.
Yeah, that's a pretty cool bottle, right?
That's badass.
So
if you're listening along, if you want to
know if we can do this technically on YouTube.
can't. Sure, we can.
Oh, no, we're still going to do it. I'll look
it up. The Tri-Channel does it all the time.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So
they drink alcohol. We're good.
For YouTube, this isn't promoting irresponsible or drinking of any kind.
Yes, drink responsibly. Don't be a dick.
This is us just trying it out. I wanted to try this out, and Josh has definitely never, ever had Fireball before, so he's going to try that out.
Anybody who's seen my TikTok knows that's not true.
Well, good thing TikTok isn't YouTube or owned by YouTube. It's owned by Gina.
Gina. Oh,
I can't make those jokes right now.
No, you can't.
I'm going to cut that fucking shit out.
When you are listening, I want you to pause, and I want you, wait, not yet. Hold on. Listen to me, then I'll tell you.
They just pause and never unpause.
I want you to pause the episode, go get your favorite liquor or
let's just say beverage, because you may not be of
beverage
legal
beverage.
You don't have to drink alcohol. That's fine.
You don't have to try alcohol. We're just trying this for educational purposes.
My daughter for New Year's wanted to have a shot with everybody on New Year's, so we gave them shots of Red Bull. I'm a good dad. Don't judge me.
There you go. It's like I saw a picture on it was a meme or something, and it was like, little man wanted to do shots with us, and he had like a shot of like Capri Sun.
They put in a shot glass. Yeah, I'm like, that's nice. Perfect. That's awesome. Kids feel special. They feel included, just like we're including you. So now that you're back with your favorite beverage, which again, alcohol is not a requirement, I want you to fill your glass, raise it, and I want you to say to triumph. And then on the count of three, we're all going to say to triumph. And then you tap it on the counter.
This is Centerator. I'm not trying umph. Confused.
To triumph, yeah. And then tap it on the counter and then drink it all down. All right.
Oh, so God, this is so cinnamony. It's like smelling a freshly opened pack of Big Red.
Oh,
good gum that I like, but me and cinnamon liqueurs.
I want you to send me like four of those.
Well, this one was given to me by my roommate on his birthday because it was like extra with what they bought.
Okay, well then.
But we'll find it. We'll find it. We'll find it.
Buy five more. Okay. Now that you're back, you got your drink in hand. Everything's good. Everybody's ready. Everybody's happy. We're going to say on the count of three to triumph. One, two, three, to triumph.
Triumph. Oh, dude. That tastes like Big Red. I have a mouthful of gum right now. never mind. Ain't as young as I once was. My, how the years have flown.
That's a good
There was a time back in my prime where I could really throw them down.
If they want to fight tonight, I guess those boys don't look all that tough. Yeah, that's a good song.
Yeah, because I definitely ain't as good as I once was, but I'm as good once as I ever was.
Toby, I know you like to listen to the show every now and then. You're a busy
the one
guy,
round so pound.
You don't catch every episode, but if you'd like to come on, you know, we'd love to have you.
Yeah, sing us a song.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Have a whole episode of us just listening to Toby.
I would too.
Oh yeah.
You know what, guys? The world's a crazy place. We just survived 2020. So for my final triumph, I will say
2021 doesn't look to be starting off too much better right now.
All of us.
Hopefully it's better by the time this episode comes out.
All of us survived 2020. And even if 2021 is more struggle, it should not be dismissed that we are still here in 2021. Okay, we made it through 2020. And we're stronger for it. So my triumph, my dedication, my appreciation, and my gratitude goes to all of you for sticking it out, for putting one foot in front of the other and keep moving forward, because that's where it's most important.
Yeah. And for tolerating us.
And for oh my God.
We're three assholes that just.
I don't know how you do that.
Yeah. You tolerated like the technical difficulties that have never stopped over the like over 2 years. The constant not knowing what the fuck we're doing ever. The random episodes that happen like this where, because we definitely do pre-planning and research for all of our episodes. This one's just an exception.
Totally.
But for y'all coming out and like, oh God, it's coming back. I mean, not in the bad way. Like, I'm not going to puke, but...
Better out than in, I always say.
There's a reason I don't drink cinnamon stuff, period. I don't like just soak cinnamon sticks in like a bottle of Sprite and drink it. Like, Sorry for anybody with a sympathetic gag reflex.
Yeah, don't do that. You'll start to get to me.
Speaking of sympathetic gag reflexes, I just rewatched a movie. And instead of saying what it is.
Last time.
Huh?
Nobody got our movie quote from last
most week. Most of the time, nobody even tries to guess. We just do it because we want to.
It's fun.
This is not what I was supposed to look. Where is the fucking movie? Helps if I like say it the right way. See, quotes from the movie. I'm going to pick one because I've thought of some, but. Is this the right movie I'm thinking of?
I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. So here's your hint. It's from 2015. The quote is, "Your mother and father only knew each other for a day, and money changed hands."
Oh, that's messed up.
Bruh. From one of the best actors ever. And I would say more about this actor, but I can't or would give it away.
Yeah, don't give it away.
Yeah.
So if you know that movie, then...
If you don't know the movie, fucking Google the quote and fucking tweet at us because we're lonely and crave interaction.
I need validation! No, for real, though. You guys
pretty sure awesome. Your validation's upstairs.
You're...
Okay. The reason we call it a heart out.
You guys are awesome. We think you're awesome. Therefore, you are.
We know you're awesome.
You coming back here every week and listening to us and participating with us and playing with us and having fun with us. It really means a lot to us, and we really do appreciate
and it. And watching our stupid faces on the YouTubes. So shout out to all YouTube subscribers as well, because it's awesome. Don't know why you're subscribed, but we definitely appreciate it. Tell your friends about us so that we can say we don't know why they subscribed either.
It'll be a club. It'll be a thing.
Yeah, it'll be a club.
So since Daniel's not here to sign us out, we'll do the back and forth thing. So from all of us at the Black Tower to all of you, I have been Josh.
Oh, to perfect timing.
No way.
We were literally just ending the episode.
Oh my God, Daniel!
Josh is just like, well, Daniel's not here to do the thing.
Speak of the devil and he shall appear.
Does that mean that we're still recording and that it's time for the end of the episode?
We're still recording. It is the time for the end. But Josh, I'm going to cash in a 5-minute chip.
Oh!
Daniel, we know you don't even know the topic of this episode. Well, maybe you do from when you
hopped in earlier. I do, because I was listening earlier.
All right. You can either make them short and do two, or you can pick your favorite triumphant moment from the series.
I really hope that I'm not repeating one, but my favorite triumph in the entire series actually comes from a character I did not like very much for the first few books, and that is Egwene
Elvin. Okay.
When she is actually successful in rallying the tower from inside the tower with sisters who hate her. I mean, I know it's more novices than sisters who hate her, but still, from the broken tower on the side she was not part of. Again, lots of help.
Dude. Shanti
attacking, lots of bickering so much in the interim when the Saladar sisters were gone, all of that different stuff. I get that there was so much going for her as far as that goes, but at the same time, she does such an amazing job of taking out the opposition from the inside in the best way possible, because she changes hearts and minds. She makes all of the people realize that they were wrong and that they need to rally behind her. And it's from the little girl who was the innkeeper's daughter, who had no fucking idea what the world was like and was really naive and stupid, all the way to the point where she actually literally becomes the Omerlin seat legitimately. And I really, really like that. Yeah.
No. We're not laughing at you. We have the live recording chat up, and this is fucking going nuts. All right,
I'm seeing it. Yeah, snakes and foxes, and more shoddy.
Oh I'm sitting there trying to listen. Like, Daniel has, like, this nice, well-crafted argument or discussion. Daniel has, like, a really great one. Like, it was really good. It was really good.
Yeah, I'm unfortunately, I'm not on Discord, so they can't hear me. And so they're just
And this is all I see at the corner of my eye. And I'm just like, oh, my God.
Yep. Indeed. Here, let me hop on Discord real quick.
Oh, yeah. As soon as you see it, you'll understand. Oh, God.
Oh.
All right. Now I'm in here so I can tell the people how I really feel.
You see all the shit we've just fucking saw? Like,
yeah, I absolutely do. Why did you do this to yourselves?
I love Daniel sighing. He comes in, he's like, I'm surrounded by children.
I just love the part where, like, you and I are just dying laughing. He's like, yeah, okay. And you could tell part of the thought was like, I know they're probably laughing at something else, but what if they're laughing at me?
No, I had Discord up on my phone, and so I actually saw what they were doing, and it was
about... Oh, you ruined the illusion.
But yeah. I do appreciate that on some level,
oh God,
you could have been laughing at me. And there was probably a part of you that was, even though most of it was chat.
I can't say much. Like, I think I used an Egwene example. It wasn't that one. But I think I used one of us did. Was it me? I don't know. I don't remember.
I believe it.
The fire of the cinnamon has roasted my brain.
It was wonderful.
It wasn't.
I'm going to go get more cinnamon.
Indeed. Well, I think that means that the episode's done.
It does.
It's coming to a close. But Daniel, we're so happy that you made it home safe.
Me too.
Yes, we know that we really are.
You absolutely loved your trip. No, it was fantastic. It was great. Because we chatted plenty of times, and we can't thank you. Let me minimize Discord for this. I can't concentrate. I can't. I'm a child, all right?
Just to make sure that everybody knows, is what you're missing when you're not a patron. Come be a Patreon. You can listen to those episodes live and see everything that's going on in chat for just $1 a month. We're losing
for just a dollar.
How do they post the same GIF? What the fuck? And poor phrasing, come be a Patreon. Like right now, that's not the right phrasing.
Thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you so much for being a super badass. Thank you so much for being super awesome and dealing with us and listening with us and hanging out with us and being awesome with us. And from all of us at the Black Tower, I have been your Tsorovan Mahale, Senor Josh.
And I have been your glazed up... No, not that. I have been Andrew, your Bajan Mahale.
And I have been here for less than 5 minutes, and I'm already broken.
Oh, your Josh disappeared into the woods. Josh just ran off into the woods.
What the fuck? And for all of us here at the Black Tower, we hope that your day is just as filled with dick jokes as ours, and the morning is fantastic. And in case we don't see you again, afternoon, good evening, good night. And also a good lord for good measure.